We are here to frighten and disturb. Listen at your own discretion.
You must be either mad or insane to seek out this godforsaken place. But since you're here, I guess I can show you the Nest of Horrors. Don't fall in.
Here at the Nest of Horrors, we have a thing for other horror podcasts. One of our favorites is the No Sleep podcast. And as a way to thank everyone who has been supporting our podcast, we will be giving away season passes for the No Sleep podcast. We'll be giving away at least one every month until the end of the year, starting today. For the first one, we'll be giving away a season pass of your choice to a random person that is following us on Twitter, at the Nest of Horrors. Today's story is part 3 of The Body Farm by Brian Martinez, narrated by Erusion Rob, Robin Regalado, Sky Vox, J.D. Jones, and That Talking Guy.
You'd think I was crazy if I said I went back to Twain Island for even one more night. It's okay to admit it, you'd be right. But I have to admit something too. I suffer from a case of curiosity. I can't help but stick my nose in strange business. Maybe that's what appealed to me about God work in the first place. The idea of seeking out trouble. It seems like all those hours behind a desk weren't able to wipe it out. It also helped that they asked me to cover a day shift this time. Eric called out sick, which seemed to me way safer than another graveyard shift. Maybe it's childish to feel that way, like I'm a little kid who's scared of the dark. But at least in the daytime, I can see what's coming at me. Not to mention I wouldn't be alone on the island during the day. I might even get some answers about what was going on out there if I spied around, talked to the right people, asked the right questions. Just to be clear though, I did ask the employment agency if there were other gigs. Any other gigs. You can see where this is going. Maybe it was the warm sun, and knowing I'd be off the island before it went away. Or maybe it was the pocket knife in my back pocket. But when I handed my cell phone over to the guy who ran the dock, I was feeling a bit bold. I asked him if there were any interesting local stories about Twain Island. At first, he shrugged it off and said,
"Every place has its stories."
But then, he said there was one thing. A story he'd heard more than once, from more than one neighbor, which might be of interest. He said strange lights had been seen on the island, either from the shore or by passing boats. To say the story was disappointing would be an understatement. I told him it was most likely just the flashlights of gods doing their rounds. He nodded and said,
"You're probably right."
As I was leaving, I heard him mumble,
"Pretty stupid to use red flashlights."
Out on the dock, Terry, Bernard, and another assistant were by the boat, waiting for me to arrive. The captain was on the boat reading a magazine. When he saw me, he put it down and started the engine. Terry smiled and said hi, as did the other assistant, a heavier guy named Miguel. As always, Bernard was a creep and said nothing. That was until we got out on open water, and Terry started making some small talk.
"So, you can't stay away, huh?"
she asked. "What can I say? Apparently I need this money stuff to live." She laughed. I was feeling pretty good about myself until Bernard chimed in.
"That's not all you get out of it,"
he said. I couldn't stand this guy any longer. I leaned past Terry and asked him what his problem was.
"Night shifters,"
he said. "Look around," I told him. "I'm working a day shift."
"You're still a night shifter."
He didn't even want to look me in the eye. I wanted to punch him in his. But Terry got involved and asked what was bothering him. He started spouting some bullshit about fetishes and fascinations with death and all this stuff that he knew a little too much about. Miguel just shook his head and laughed at what Bernard was saying, but Terry, to her credit, did her best to defuse the little creep. By the time we docked, he was calmer, but still not looking my way, which was fine by me. Before he walked off, he turned back to me and said,
"Do whatever you want to the bodies. Just stay away from me."
Terry must have seen that I was about to pounce on him. She got in front of me and pulled me in the other direction, saying she needed some help carrying some heavy boxes. She was clearly appealing to my ego, and I decided to drop it. The little idiot wasn't about to ruin my chances with a cute girl. That would be letting him win. As we walked to the main research building, I realized Dr. Christiansen hadn't come over with us. Terry explained that he usually comes over alone, whenever he decides to start his day, and her saying that reminded me of the conversation I had with him the other night about missing the last boat. "If I call for another comes," he'd said. Terry laughed and said it sounded like something an egomaniac like him would say. I was digging her more and more by the minute. We entered the research building and continued down the hall.
"Sorry about Bernard,"
she said.
"Forensics attracts the occasional weirdo."
"Is that what brought you to it?" I joked.
"Actually, it was because my brother died."
"Oh, shit." I felt my face go red at my bad joke.
"It's fine."
She waved it off.
"We were really close. He donated his body to science and it ended up in a facility like this one. When I looked into forensic anthropology, I was hooked. I went right to the university and changed my major. I know it sounds funny, but I feel close to him here."
It did sound weird, but I'd heard of worse ways of coping with grief. When my dad died, I spent the first month so drunk I can barely remember it, except for what people tell me. I even spent a night in jail for breaking a bartender's nose, though that's a story for another time. Terry and I went through a door at the end of the hall where the sign simply read, "Cleaning." The room was about the size of a small kitchen and had all kinds of tools and chemicals for cleaning skeletons once they had served their purpose on the farm. Terry showed me the whole operation, explaining that after being cleaned here, the bones went to another room for storage or shipping, depending on their final home.
"But you don't need to go in there,"
she said.
"It's just a bunch of bones."
"What was the name of the overnight guard who worked before me?" I asked out of the blue. She seemed caught by surprise, but she thought for a second and said his name was Greg. "Is he the guy with the tattoo?" I pointed to my forearm.
"Yeah. How'd you know?"
I told her there was a picture of him hanging in the guard's office. She nodded, remembering the picture.
"It's too bad he left."
I asked her why, and she said,
"Well, he was kind of cute."
At that point, the door opened and Dr. Christiansen appeared in the doorway. He seemed annoyed by my being there.
"I think you'll find that no one in here needs guarding,"
he said, then glanced at Terry. Terry apologized and explained she needed my help moving some boxes. He mumbled something about female musculature and left. "I meant to ask," I stopped him. "Do you know who's relieving me?"
"It was my understanding you are."
That meant a double shift. Nobody had said anything about that.
"Is that a problem?"
I guess I could use the money."
"As long as it suits your needs."
After he left, I turned to Terry. I guess forensics attracts a few assholes too." Her face stiffened. She said,
"He's my father."
My jaw must have dropped to the floor. Then she said,
"Just kidding."
We both laughed. A great feeling after all the stress and creepiness of the past week. I asked her where the boxes were she needed help with.
"What boxes?"
She smiled at me on her way out. For the first time, I was happy I'd come back to the island. I grabbed a walkie from the office and did my rounds, a full perimeter around the island that took about an hour, give or take. Everything was fine, of course, and in the daylight, it was almost an enjoyable time, like a normal, brisk walk on a rocky shore. At the high point of the island, I even tried to look down below for the cave opening, but the tide was too high. I was starting to think Eric made that up anyway. Along the way, I only saw one body, in a cage near the shore. Probably studying the effects of the ocean water or something like that. I stopped looking when I saw what was crawling out of its ear. When I got back to the guard's office, I stepped inside and looked around. Nothing out of place. Quiet. Just when I was about to sit down, I glanced into the break area. The corkboard. The photo. Greg smiling awkwardly into the camera. Greg, who might still be on this island, but not smiling. Not alive. I remembered why I was here. Why I was really here. And this time, it wasn't for the paycheck. In case I don't come back, I wrote all this down to let you know that I'm going out right now, and I'm going to get some answers. My first stop? That storage room.
Hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us for more.